Hi, I'm Sandy, and I'm an addict. I'm going to sit down because I'm very tired. I worked this morning, and I get tired easy lately. The topic is, the steps are our solution, and that's the truth. Let me talk to God first and ask him to let his message come through. Dear Lord God, let thy will be done. Guide me in my recovery and show me how to live. Let thy will be done. Okay, I just need, in order to talk about the steps are our solution, I need to tell you that before I came to the fellowship, before I found the fellowship, I grew up in a home where there was addiction. And in growing up in this home, I was very overly sensitive. My feelings got hurt a lot very easily. I didn't quite understand all the time the dynamics that were going around, that were happening around me. And it didn't take long. I was about 16, 18, where I started using. And by the time I was 19, I had a car accident, and I was laid up for 2 years. And in that process, I did a whole lot of drugs. And then from that point on, it was just drugs and alcohol until I came to the rooms. But by the time I came to the rooms, I was so lost. I was the kind of person that I'd move from place to place to place because when people started to get to know me, I'd get scared and I'd run away. I started getting problems and I'd run away. And I'm a runner. I've run all my life. When I finally got to the rooms, what was going on in my life at that time was that I was, I felt like I was going down the tubes. I felt like I couldn't find my path in life. I was about 33 at the time. I felt so alone, and I didn't know anything about recovery. I never heard about it. And somebody had told me, they said to me that I was an addict, and it really ticked me off, and it scared me, and it created something within me where I started to ask myself some questions, and eventually I ended up in a treatment program, and there I was introduced to 12-step programs. So I began the process, and I got to tell you that my clean date is 12/27/83, and yeah, and I am still a woman learning how to live with this disease. One of the first things that I had to do before I really got into working the steps for me was I had to begin taking a look at what does this mean as a disease? You know, what is this? You know, and how does it impact me? How does it fit me? And I was able to do that and learn about it. And as I began learning about it, I started working that first step. It is suggested that you get a sponsor. That's very, very important. A sponsor is a guide. There were so many things that were happening as I was going through that first step that I thought were, like, weird, or I thought I wasn't supposed to feel that way. And come to find out, my sponsor told me that that was normal. This is an unfolding process. I've been through this step several times now, and it is an unfolding process. And what I've come to realize is that this is an alive program. It's living. It's real. It touches, for me, the subtle parts of my life. You know, and it's incredible. It's terribly exciting. When I first started that first step and everything, I was kind of hesitant, and I did a lot of comparing with other people because I just didn't think I was that bad because I didn't understand, and I hadn't looked at the many different aspects of my life, the different areas of my life, you know, and I didn't look at you know, really look at how it was impacting my child. I didn't look at how it was impacting my health. I didn't look at how it was impacting me spiritually or physically or mentally, how my thinking. So one of the things that people in the rooms told me is they kept saying, keep coming back. It will get better. And I was really attracted to that. And in the process, that's what I did. I just kept coming back. I got involved in service work very early on. And service work helped me to learn how to be around other people. I was so far back from everybody, detached. I couldn't plug in. I didn't feel like I belonged. And so starting the process of being involved in service was a blessing. And I've just kept doing it ever since. And it is still a blessing. As time passed, I was ready to really get into that first step. And I shared it with my sponsor. And it was a beautiful process. It started to turn the lights on at how much of an impact using had hit me in the heart, in the mind, in the spirit. And when I got to the second step, this process, I didn't realize at the time what I was doing is I was laying a foundation. I had to, this foundation was something that I could hang on to. And this is what I needed. I needed something that I could hang on to because my thoughts had been so scattered and so out there. And so when I hit the second step, when I got clean, there was no 12-step working guidebook. Okay? So we did it just a sponsor, sponsee, and the questions were asked, and reading the literature that was critical. And for me, what I had to do is I had to go in and identify what I'd ever heard about a higher power because I was very rebellious, too. I was a little Miss Know-It-All, and you're not going to tell me, and you're not going to shove anything down my throat, and I'm not buying anything you tell me, you know, because, you know, I don't want to be, I didn't, at that time, I was thinking to myself, this is my faulty thinking, I didn't want to be like anybody else, you know. I didn't realize at the time that I was spiritually wounded, and that was the piece that was coming out, and so I began to take a look at everything I'd ever heard, and I started to list them all on paper. What did I ever hear about a higher power? And then after I did all of that, I started to mull it around in my mind and do a lot of praying on it. And I asked myself the question, what do I believe? What can I hang on to? And I'd read the literature. And I'd listened in the rooms. And I heard people say that there's a loving God. And that was attractive to me. I'd heard a lot of people in the rooms, too, that were struggling, and they had a punishing God, you know, and that was like, I couldn't do it, you know, I couldn't make it if I had a punishing God. It wouldn't work for me, and that's not what our literature, and that's not what Narcotics Anonymous says, and I've come to learn that our disease is so critical of us, you know, and wants to hurt us, and wants to keep us down. You know, and that low self-esteem that we have, and I was just suffering from it. And I needed to know that it was okay, that my life was okay. It was okay for me to start putting my head up again, that it was okay for me to have this disease and be responsible for my recovery. It was okay. And that I didn't need to be ashamed of anything that I'd ever done. And my sponsor helped me with that. She said, Sandy, if you take a look back at your life, every single one of us has got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And she said, if you were to look back at all those times you really wished you'd never done whatever you did, would you do it today? And I was able to say no, based on what I had known at that time, what I'd grown into, because it's a program of growth. I'll stand up because there's more people. It's a process, it's a growth process, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Would you do it again?
Huh? Oh, would I do it again? Absolutely not. I wouldn't make the same choices, and because slowly, over time, I started to get in touch that this is a spiritual program. It started to connect, it started to click, and I didn't really understand what that meant. But I just kept coming around. And when I got to the third step, I was able to really make that decision.
I was as serious as heart attack about it. This was no joke for me. This was big. Because prior to this, I made no commitments to anybody, anywhere. I was not into it. I didn't want to be trapped. And I knew if I gave my word and I gave my commitment, that I was on. So I really had to take a look at my disease and see how far it had taken me down and how badly it had hurt me. I was in despair when I came in. I wanted to die. And I was angry about that because I wanted to live. And I didn't know how. And besides that, I was pulling a kiddo along with me, single parent. So when I looked at that third step, I had to really look at it. You know, turning my life and my will over. I'm not going to turn anything over that I don't understand. And that's what's helped me through this process, to understand that this is a fellowship of awareness. Awareness grows as I grow, as I begin to look up words, as I begin to follow what's in these in the literature. So I was able to honestly make that decision one day. I sat down, I set time aside. As serious as a heart attack, I talked to God, as I understood him, my higher power. And it's like stepping off the cliff. I stepped into my recovery. I began to pull all the chapters together, because I'd moved to so many different places, and it was like they were scattered all over, and different dynamics. I didn't know at that time, and people had told me in the rooms that I would discover the patterns, the reoccurring patterns that I had experienced throughout this process called life. And through going through and identifying with these patterns, starting to be able to see them, I would start to be able to make some changes in my life. Because change wasn't about my sponsor doing it for me. It wasn't about zap me. It wasn't about anything but my working with my higher power and coming to the rooms and letting you love me until I could learn to love myself. That was hard. One of the things that I've discovered along the way that's very, very important is being positive, thinking positive. When I got to my fourth step, I began to have an inkling of how negative I was inside, in my thoughts. And it surprised me because I had this image that I had of, like, I'm a good girl. I was raised a good girl. So I had this image of what I was supposed to be. And it was struggling with what the image was and what the different roles were with different people and trying to get it all straight. And finally I heard exactly what I wanted in recovery. I wanted my insides to match my outsides. And I'll tell you, it's been a long time. I keep going over these steps over and over, but I had somebody give me a compliment the other day that just really, it was like, wow. One of my coworkers went to a convention just recently down in New Orleans, and she said, as she was going through the spiritual convention, she said there was a word that people used, and it was translucent. And she said when they used that word, she thought of me, that I was translucent. And for me, that meant that my insides are, for the most part, matching my outside. You can see me and I can see you. And it's like opening and getting all that garbage out. At first, when I started that fourth step, I was scared. I was afraid to tell people because there were things that I did that were just really horrible. I didn't want anybody to know. But I listened to the speaker tonight, I knew that I was as sick as my deepest secrets. I could not take these secrets to my grave. Because it just kept me separated. It was like there was a wall right here. I saw what people were doing in their recovery, and I saw people getting well. And it was like, oh, jeez. You know? Oh, jeez. You know? And I finally had to come clean, and I told it all. And I told it all because I was fighting for my right to have a life. I want a life. And that's the only way I knew how to get it. That's what I was taught. As time unfolded, I bumped into the 12 steps through the step working guide and have begun the process of doing these steps through that process. And it's really awesome. So anyway, with that fourth step, yeah, and I suggest, again, please don't do it by yourself. Do it with somebody that cares about you. Do it with your sponsor. You know, and you put things together and you feel it. And I know as I was going through it, I felt it. Because it's a feeling program. I felt the feelings that I was going through. It's like living my life and wearing them. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, but I saw other people doing it and it slowly dawned on me that I'm starting to become brave. Because I didn't realize how much of a chicken I had been. That I wasn't brave. I was boisterous and I was loud, but I wasn't honest and I wasn't open-minded and I wasn't willing. I was afraid to tell the truth to myself. So this process, I'll tell you, service work helped me through this process because I went to H&I in Riverview Prison, and I saw guys in there that were had a lot of time, and really wanted recovery. You know, didn't want to use in prison anymore. And they encouraged me, and that when they shared, it encouraged me to take another step forward. It helped me to become a little bit more open, a little bit more honest. When I told my sponsor some of the things in my first fourth step, some of the things that I was really uncomfortable about, she laughed at, because she said she'd done it too, and she did it in a way that it was like made me feel, which was really important. And then I did the fifth step, and then I got into the sixth step, and the sixth step is really awesome. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's really awesome. It's kind of like owning your own stuff, you know. And I, by that time, as the steps unfold, I was really glad to own my own stuff. I really wanted to be who I was, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I wanted to face everything. And when I, basically, the bottom line is, newcomer, you'll find that for the most part, you know, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're not as bad as you think. Believe it. You know, none of us are defective at all. We're beautiful. And some of the things that we've done to hurt other people and ourselves, when you look at it in line with the disease of addiction, then you really start to understand what it's about. For me, the steps have been the foundation. I was so scattered that I needed to hang on to something. And I'd never been able to hang on to anything, and I'd never made a commitment until I came into the fellowship. And I was able to hang on to these steps because they made sense. When you go through the steps, you really go through the steps, they start to make sense. But you have to read the literature. You got to go through and you got to read the literature. Otherwise, you're kind of like stepping off into what you think and what you think it should be and this and that. And that's, you know, you're going to get hurt that way. Go to the old timers. The old timers that have worked the program, that have worked steps. If your sponsor hasn't worked the steps, get another sponsor. It's important. It's very important. When I got to the seventh step, I was able to see some of the patterns that I had. I grew up in a family that was very critical, and I was able to see how that had rubbed off on me. And I realized that if I had spent my whole life just working on being critical, I'd be doing it forever and a day. And I really sincerely, in my heart and mind, I went to God and I asked Him, here's my shortcomings. Please remove my shortcomings. And it's not like I asked God to, you know, take it away right here, right now. it's like God helps me to learn how to live with them. How to live with them. And he lessens them. And I go forward. And when I got to the eighth step, that's the beginning of making that list. And I came in, I was filled with revenge. Revenge and resentments. Jealousy. Envy. Woof-dee-doo. Everybody else was better than me. Had more stuff than me. And I was a very unhappy person. Of course I would be, because I was looking this way instead of looking in here. What the steps have done for me is they've reversed it and brought me back into here, which is where it's at. So by putting those names down, I had to become willing, you know, really practice that willingness. One of the things that I learned, I was taught, and I wouldn't have figured this out myself, but I was taught that I have to forgive. I have to forgive because there's people on the list that I would like them to forgive me. But if I can't forgive others, then how can I expect to be forgiven? So I had to learn what forgiveness was and how to do it. I'm not one to eat crow. I'm not about that. What I learned is that through this process, my heart started to loosen up. And I started to realize that we're all just human. Because through this process, what's happened is that slowly over time, the recovery process is helping me to step further away from my self-centeredness. Not that it doesn't come back. But like Wes said, it's a one day at a time. And as you work the process, as you work these steps, what happens is you start to go, oh, okay, that's what that is. Okay, that's what that is. Okay, this is what I need to do. Oh, I need to go forward. I need to go to more meetings because I'm holding back and not going to meetings. You know, oh, I got to go to the literature. I believe, based on my experiences, that people, I know for me, as I work the process, that I'm able to sense what's going on within myself. And I have friends around me that'll tell me the truth. I have friends that won't tell me what I want to hear. They'll tell me what I need to know. And that's what the fellowship offers, is that kind of friendship. The honest friendship. And then, you know, in the eighth step, it's about, you know, making the amends. And I've heard stories about people that have come right out of treatment and gone off and made amends to people and told their wife that they slept with so-and-so and then her sister. And that's not making amends. That's selfishness. Selfish and self-centeredness. It's really about, by the time you get to that place, you've kind of settled down in your mind. For me, everything slowed down. I was like, when I first came around, going a mile a minute. But then time slowed things down, and I'm not like that inside. And I was able to see the larger picture. And there's a lot of people that I wasn't able to go directly and make amends to, because like I said, I was on the road, and I don't even know their names and stuff like that. So I do a lot of service work. I do a lot of giving back. And those people that I have made amends to, I make it appropriately. I don't bring up the past and go rub-a-dub-dub. You know, I let them know in a way that's meaningful for each individual, you know, and move on. And then there's the last three steps, and the last three steps are very important. They're the maintenance steps. They help you to see how you're doing. You know, once you've done out your cleaning out and you've put everything where it's supposed to be, kind of like, you know, who you are and where you're going and dreams start to awaken and stuff like that, you start taking a daily inventory. You start paying attention. It's like paying attention. And then you start continuing to build that relationship with God, yourself, you know, and praying only for God's will for us and the power to carry that out. That's really important, you know. And then lastly, you start being able to give away what you've learned, you know, and that's really awesome. And all along the way, you're a newcomer, you're a person that's not a newcomer, and you're an old timer, and you're all of it all at once, and there's paradoxes, and it's just, it's really awesome. And like I said, I'm tired right now, so my words are kind of feel bumbling around, but it's a wonderful process. And once you get done with that, you go back and you start one over again. You keep going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I just got done doing my fourth step for, I think, the sixth time. And it was incredible because I've relaxed enough so that my fear has subsided enough so that I can really see myself and things that really making sense. You know, it's like finding a piece over here and a piece over here and having all these pieces around. And finally, the pieces are all coming together, and it's like they're kind of like falling in place because of the knowledge and the insight and the wisdom that I've granted here. And it's an awesome experience. And I've rededicated myself to service work. I've joined H&I in our area, and I'm assisting on A&E when they need help. And I'm happy to be doing it. And I have a job, and I have a relationship. And I'm going down to see my mom. I haven't seen my mom in years and years and years. My sister has forgiven me. It's been 20 years. It took 20 years for her to get to the place where she could open her mind and heart and let me back in based on the things that I did to her. And it was like I didn't think it was possible. My youngest brother, who was a drunk, came and spent about 6 months at our house, and it was really awesome because he was exposed to Narcotics Anonymous. So miracles can happen. Dreams do awaken. I went and I got myself an education in recovery, and I didn't know I was smart, you know. And I'm an artist now. Something I've always wanted to do, a dream. So I'm painting, and I'm loving it. And I'm around addicts all the time, all the time. And I love it. I love you, and I love me, and I love God. That's it. Thanks.